In the name of God, amen. A few weeks ago on Pride Sunday, Russell was baptized. There at this font, the water poured on his head three times in the name of the Trinity. And then the oil of chrism anointed by Joseph on his forehead with the sign of the cross and those familiar words, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." We in the congregation a few moments before had renewed our own baptismal vows. And then later, as we are welcoming this newly baptized one, the whole congregation is aspersed with that same holy baptismal water. We, as clergy who had the privilege of doing that, made sure everybody got at least a little bit wet. It's always a joyous moment. That day, I was also reminded of a baptism some years ago in another parish. This time, it was a little boy of about 5. He knelt on a chair and bent his head over the font. He, too, got decidedly wet when it came time for the water to be poured over his head, and he loved it. And then afterwards, we'd instructed him, he held his head high, and the anointing went onto his forehead. The oil of chrism once again, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and marked as Christ's own forever. A week or so later, he came up to me after church and pointed to his forehead and said, "Is it still there?" "Yes, indeed," I replied. "It's now a little bit further on the inside of you, so you just can't see it when you look in the mirror. But it's always with you." And then that beaming and that belonging from him. Christ's own forever. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get at in the letter to the Romans forever today. We hear the echoes and origins of those baptismal words when Paul says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption." Baptism is about that kind of adoption. As children of God, heirs through the Spirit of grace and hope, a Spirit which is that same seal marked both within us and initially on our foreheads. That seal of belonging, adopted into the household of God, to which all are invited and all welcome. Easy words to say, in a sense. Pretty hard to live out. It was also pretty hard for Paul when he was talking about that spirit of adoption, because his origins, as you know, were as a persecutor of new Christians. He worried about Judaism going awry, and indeed it already was. He worried about the purity of the faith. He wanted things just right. And these people following Jesus were not doing things properly according to his particular standards. You'll remember, though, he had a moment of conversion. It was on the road to Damascus for more of the same violent actions when he was struck by a great transforming light. He gave up persecution to become not only a follower of Jesus, but also an apostle to the Gentiles, an apostle to the others, folks not like him. He founded communities all over Asia Minor, Greece and Rome and Corinth. His word became a word of welcome to all, proclaiming that the followers of Christ could be all people, all cultures, all heritage, no East or West, no male and female. All are free in Christ Jesus. And his message that each of us is claimed and beloved of God, adopted by grace, not by biology, not by merit, not by class or race or education or nationality or sexual orientation, adopted by God, all people. And the invitation to be that kind of community, letting go of any spirit of fear or self-judgment we carry, whatever our history, is not a burden we need to bear. Marked as Christ's own is about belonging. Wherever you are on your journey, you are welcome here. It's a mission we've claimed here at St. Michael's. The caution, though, once again, is how to live that out for others, for ourselves. Facing the world straight on and unafraid, especially in these times, is not easy for most of us. Where do we get the courage? How indeed do we claim that spirit of adoption which is promised to us? How do we as Christian community make that welcome invitation real? How do we offer it to others? The answer, of course, is at least in part right here among us, which brings me back to the baptism service and to the promise that the congregation makes alongside those to be baptized. Will you support this child, this person, in their life in Christ? And the response is inevitably a resounding, "We will." Yet behind that liturgical enthusiasm is the knowledge that we may not have the opportunity to support this child, this particular person, for all sorts of reasons in our mobile world. It may not be St. Michael's that becomes this child's church home, if any church at all. It may be that someone moves away very quickly. So how do we make that "we will" matter? How do we make that spirit of adoption real? Whether one is baptized here or elsewhere or not at all. In truth, I see it happening every day here. It's our work to claim it. In the everyday life and commitments of this parish and community, the yes from the "we will" of the congregation extends to all who come across our open doors on a Sunday or a Saturday for a meal, to Russian or Chinese lessons, or to daycare in Spanish at La Escuelita, or for the theater or the choir, or the neighborhood action meeting that is here on Monday nights. Each ministry, the work that each of you does here and abroad, is the recipient of your own yes for every baptism. That yes is indeed as much about who we are as a community as it is for the individual who may or may not show up at St. Michael's a week or years later, asking whether that mark is still on their forehead. For it is within each of us and among us. Our promise to support is a community lived out in our church, in our neighborhood, and well beyond. Spirit of adoption, we figure out what Paul meant to be claimed and beloved as we claim and are claimed by others. In secular language, I suppose that would be really, it takes a village. But it is so much more than that. I suppose some of you may have had this experience as well, but growing up, I had another mother. Everyone needs one or another parent, I think. Not a replacement of our own, but one who might offer a different perspective, perhaps without some of the baggage. My other mother was Libby. She stayed in touch with me until she died a few years ago. She'd call every few months and see how I was doing. Now, Libby was a deeply spiritual woman and not an Episcopalian. Her prayers were of the charismatic variety, with lots of praise music and singing, even on the phone. And her calls always ended with, "Angel, let's just talk together to Jesus for a while." And we did, on the phone, 1,000 miles distant. And when I hung up, I knew what it meant to have that spirit of adoption in my own heart. Now, I have to give my mother credit. She was deeply spiritual as well, but in the Episcopal Church kind of way. And the prayer book prayers were just fine for her. She taught me those too. My children had Grandpa Jack, who was their grandpa, who lived nearby, not a blood grandpa, no biology. He ran the soup kitchen in the church. Or there was Suzanne, who sat with my children in church to make sure that at least they stayed semi-controlled. I see it here, of course, at St. Michael's in so many ways. Homework help, where the mentors are the children, not our own, and so glad it is continuing. I see it in every child when they come up for a blessing, or they show up for one reason or another for all of us. And then there's the directory. I have to say, I never thought of the directory as a tool for the spirit of adoption. And then I remembered. When one of my daughters was in fifth grade, about to graduate from fifth grade, the parent, I didn't show up at church very, I mean, at school too often. I wasn't great at muffin making, but I was pretty good at cleaning out the desk on the day of graduation. And so we're pulling all these things out, candy wrappers hidden from before, and then suddenly there was the St. Dunstan's directory, which was the parish where I was the rector. And I said, "Miriam, why do you have the directory?" She looked at me like I was crazy, and she said, "Mom, don't you know I need the phone numbers for people to call in case I need some help for something? Don't you know I need those numbers if somebody gets to pick me up and you forget to come?" And I thought, yes. And it made me rejoice that idea for the directory, which you've had before, of course, came again, and there were long invitations for a directory. I'm not sure too many people will have a paper copy or it'll be in someone's fifth grade desk. But it is indeed a tool for us to know one another, a tool for us to love one another, and a tool for us to claim that spirit of adoption, even when it's a little bit scary. All of us are part of the household of God, invited by God's Spirit to claim one another as we support each other in our lives in Christ. And indeed, no matter where we are on this journey, we have the cross of that baptismal seal, claimed by God, claimed by one another, all as the body of Christ. Amen.